we needed to go deeper with God and build a relationship with God. Over the next 70 weeks, we will be invited to move closer to allowing God to work in us, allowing Jesus Christ to be the Lord, our Savior. Move closer to become a deeply devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Each of the next 7 weeks, you will be invited to take a step towards a discipleship, not just sitting in here where listening to it. I think that it is about time for us to be serious about our spiritual journey. We begin this journey today with a prayer life. Today, I'm particularly speaking about the purpose of a prayer and how to pray. We talk about prayer all the time in the church and talking with God, but we are not practicing the prayer that often as we should. Oftentimes, most of us pray in times of desperation. When things are really bad, we turn to God. All of a sudden, we become so religious. September 11, 2001, I was at church with 1,000 members. And we had 3 different services. But it's at that moment, September 11, 2001, from that moment for the 6 months, I had to add 2 more services because of the people flocking into the church. Because of the fear and trauma, whole nation we are dealing with in this country. But after the 6 months, do you know what happened? I had to trim it down back to the 3 services. And the tension, urgency, somehow it faded away in the community, in the whole county. And then the people getting into the normal lives, so-called. There are others who only pray out of a sense of a guilt. When something is wrong or something we did not right, and we pray to God, God, forgive me. And then there are others who only prayed when they want something. Just see God as a heavenly Santa Claus who needed to receive our wish list to fulfill our wish list. And there are some moments that we are thinking that where is God in our prayer life? And that Adam Hamilton, who is part of the Methodist Connection, and he encouraged us to look at our prayer life. And in also he added one more way of people often pray. When people pray, they pray because they would like to feel better about themselves. They use prayer as a kind of a self-therapy, verbalizing their private thoughts and concerns and finding peace and resolution in their verbalization of the situation. No matter what, building a relationship and communion with God or communicating with God is good. But all those are not the primary purpose of a prayer. The primary purpose of a prayer is not all about talking to God, but listening to God also. In prayer, we have opportunity to say, Lord, speak to me. And then we need to listen. But sometimes, oftentimes, we talk more without giving God to have a moment to respond or speak to us. And we are praying so we can bend, mold, and reshape our will and plan to be in harmony with God. We are not praying to manipulate God into obeying us. We pray to convince us to fulfill God's desire in life. When we spend quality time in prayer, we can hear God's voice. It was that way for Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, Jesus started his public ministry. Just before he launched the public ministry or go out to other people to share the good news of Jesus Christ and heal the people in the name of the Lord, he did something. He had to select the inner circles. He was a time for Jesus to choose from among his many followers, which 12 would be his apostles. His inner circle, his inner support. And then during this time of the year, lay leadership and nomination team, they are prayerfully selecting the leaders of the congregation who are offering the ministry opportunities based on the giftedness of the people. We have been in this process since July. And then all members of the nomination team, including myself, we are prayerfully consider each individual leadership position in the church. We do believe that everything rises and falls in leadership. Before we make a call or making an invitation to other people to consider to be the leader of that particular area in ministry, we pray. I pray. And then asking the person to prayerfully consider and listen to God, how God is moving to that, moving their hearts, particular invitation they received. It was like that for Jesus too. How did Jesus make a decision? In Gospel Luke chapter 12 said, during that time, Jesus went to the mountain to pray. And he prayed to God all night long. At daybreak, he called to gather his disciples. He chose 12 of them, whom he called apostles. Jesus prayed all night before choosing his 12 apostles. The 12 disciples are apostles, the apostleship that received special calling to support and partner with the Lord's ministry. They are the disciples of the disciples, leaders of the leaders. Jesus prayed all night. When was the last time you prayed all night? When was the last time you prayed for an hour? When was the last time you prayed for 50 minutes seriously? Jesus, the Son of God, needed a prayer. How do we, as weak as we are, think we can just wing it without God? When it comes to prayer, God is offering us the potential and potential of entering in a rich and a deep relationship with God. Adam Hamilton, the senior pastor of the 20,000-member United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in Kansas, said that God offers us an ocean, and yet we choose a puddle. Through prayer, God invites you and me to go deeper. God offers to give us the depth of his presence in our lives. God offers to give us the depth of a life that filled with joy. And he also offers the depth of power and strength in the midst of the challenges in we are facing in our lives. If only we are willing to jump into the ocean. I'm not so sure how many of are the good swimmers in here. Person like me, who are not able to swim, but walk in the water, not on the water, in the water, while holding someone right next to me. I do not go into the water unless I have someone. I'm a water phobic. I drink water. I put myself in the water in the bathtub only. I am fearful whenever I'm talking about the ocean and swimming, going deeper. It scares me. Probably in our spiritual lives, you and I have a fear of diving into the unknown ocean because we do not know what's going on under the water. And to fully rely on God is required when we dive into the ocean. In contrast to the shallowness of our prayer lives, Jesus lived in the ocean. Jesus was in constant communion with God. Most of us choose not to go deeper. seems that most of us prefer to live on the shallow end of life for the security reason. We choose the puddle instead of ocean. I must confess that most of the time I choose the puddle instead of ocean, as I said. In the morning when I was heading out to, when I drive to the church, and I pray to God to give me the wisdom to use the time wisely. When I am responding to the telephone call or the standing by the hospital bed, I pray that God would give me the right words to say with the person. Before I go to bed at night, I remember the prayer request received from the congregation in the community, along with the personal and private concerns I have heard. I left those concerns up to God. Yes, I do pray. However, I feel that it is the puddle in my prayer life. But occasionally, there are times when I step out of the puddle and step into the ocean. Sometimes in the evening at 9 o'clock when my latest appointment has ended, I walk into my small home office. I often find my eyes are filled with overflowing tears. Yes, I'm a crying baby, I know. Some of tears are for the my own sin and shortcoming. I wish I am perfect like Jesus, not making any mistake in my life, but I do. So I do repent every day. Sometimes some of the tears come when I remember people in my prayers who made a prayer request. I'm crying in sympathy and empathy with their pain. In the midst of my tear, I sense that God is crying too for the pain people are going through. God hears these prayers for broken marriage, broken hopes, broken bodies, and broken dreams. Offering my prayers for the some families and leaders, and sometimes draws a big line of a smile on my face. And with a great joy, I feel like God is so delighted with the family I was praying for. During the week, I particularly picked two families per week from the directly in order. And then I, in addition to all the prayer, I do pray for those particular two families per week. Sometimes when I lift up the prayers for that family, my heart aches. Sometimes I cannot wait to be in the morning to make a call or email to check how they are doing. My heart sinks when I pray. And sometimes when I pray for the particular family, my heart was so delighted, full of joy. Sometimes I would like to make a call for that family to be part of the joyful spirit they are carrying. And that is my prayer life. Sometimes today I feel that God is so delighted and cry with the people of God. That moment is the moment of the ocean of the prayer life, surrounded by the presence of God. Prayer comes from the heart. No fancy words or the complicated formula are required. Some of you do not feel comfortable with the kind of informal little talk with Jesus. For some like that, some of you maybe needed to have order or structure. Let me share with you the several different patterns of the prayer. Today, I would like to introduce five. I'm going to make a quick introduction is sitting here. Be alert. The first one is ACT, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. A for adoration. Adoring God, praising God, thanking God for whatever who He is, she is, God is for your life. That is A, adoration. Second, confession. I know that all of us are not perfect, and I make sure of the glory of God because we are simple human beings. So we confess to God about our mistake and the shortcomings. That is the C for confession. Next one is a T. T stands for thanksgiving. God given us so many blessings that we count the blessing and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we can name around us. At least one you can name in your life if you cannot name anything. You are the chosen by God as the child of God. That is amazing, amazing grace we can thankful for. And an S stands for supplication, asking the Lord to supply all our need. The Bible said God will supply all of your need according to the rich, His riches and glory. That is the first pattern, S, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. There is another pattern for prayer, which is called handy prayer. You flat it out to your palm and gather it up together in front of you, like the traditional prayer position. The closest the finger to your heart is a thumb. Pray for your family. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. That is the first step. And the second closest one is the index finger. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your friends. And a prayer for the community, people you know, daily you are commingled with, co-workers. Third one is the tallest middle finger in here. This one is for the person above you. Your teachers are in need of your prayer. Your mentors in need of your prayers. And then your mothers and fathers need of prayers too. They are above you, but they are in need of a prayer. And your pastors and the leaders of this congregation need your prayer. Our president need a prayer to make the right decision for this country and for the power, within the power he given in this time of the year. Especially not right now. We needed to pray for them. And the fourth one is the weakest one, the ring finger. It is the part we needed to pray for, the needy, hunger, and thirst, and those people who are in need of our help. The last lead is the pinky. It's you. We needed to pray for ourselves. Without you, no ministry, no life around you. You needed to pray for yourself too, instead of asking other people to pray for you. That is called the handy prayers. The another kind of prayer is a breath prayers. When you breathe in the air, you remember the prayer request. Contemplate it a little bit. And when you breathe out the air, you think about God and asking God to intervene into the person's life. Another kind of a prayer is the prayer, the scripture. That is called Lectio Divina, which means a divine reading and sacred reading, repeating a particular word or phrase whereby we take in the scriptures and allow ourselves to be nourished and permeated by it. And it's almost like a food taken and treated over and broken apart and swallowed. Repeated one word or the phrase while you are reading the scripture. And then think about it, what God is telling you that when the particular one. That is called the prayer of the scripture in the Lectio Divina. Lastly, the prayer of the cross. It is a directional prayer. I introduced this prayer in the past, so I'm going to make it quick. Upward, saying something about God. Inward or downward, thinking about something and say something about yourself around you. And then also the outward, it is a prayer and it's saying something about your neighbor, the person next to you or the person in your neighbor and friend. And also prayer for the onward and a prayer for tomorrow and prayer for the future generation. That is called the cross prayer. Upward, inward, outward, and onward. And then lastly, posture of a prayer. Instead of me elaborate the postures of a prayer, I would like to tell the stories about three ministers who got together in the donut shop for coffee. They are a good buddy in the community, so they occasionally get together in the donut shop to share in the stories. And they talked about the postures in prayer postures. They debated over this. First pastor said, the best posture in prayer is raise your hands up in the air and pray to God like a prophet in the Old Testament. And you can hear the voice of God so easily by opening up your arms in the air. And the second pastor said, no, it is not. When you flex your face on the floor like the Hebrew people, you can hear the voice of God more efficiently. And the third pastor said, not really. We are not living in those centuries. We live in the 21st century. We just kneel at the prayer rail and pray to God. That is the best posture. And right next to the table, there was a telephone repairman sitting at the next to that. And then the same. All your ministers are so wrong. Do you know what? The best posture I ever had for prayer was from the telephone pole upside down 40 feet off the ground when I was dangling there. That was the best posture I ever had. God answered my prayer. Well, there are many different postures. There are many different ways to converse with God. The most important thing is this. You pray and open your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit. Stewards campaign we are in right now is not about opening your wallet or pocket. It is about opening your heart, opening your life, and go deeper with God in relationship. During the week while I was preparing this message, I caught the several names in the church directory. We have 127 families listed in our church directory. I cut the names one at a time and folded one at a time, adding my prayers to it. In this folded paper, we have the name of the family with the address. Instead of learn about prayer, how to pray in pastor's prayer or parent of a prayer, it is about time for us to add our application in our prayer lives. So I am offering these opportunities for you. These people need of your prayer, like it or not. Some of you do not know this family you're going to pick out of this basket. And that moment, get down on your knee and pray to God to give you a spirit to pray for this particular family. If you would like to send a card, you may do so and tell them you care. Or you can call them if you want to by getting the phone number from the church office. But you do not have to do so. Just pick the names of the people and pray, offer prayer to intervene in God's presence into the life of these people. Let's see how God will use this prayer life in this congregation for the next 7 weeks in this place. And I do firmly believe in the power of a prayer. You do not need to make a drastic change or plan for this prayer life. Simply go before God on behalf of these people. As Marie already mentioned, many prayer names are already gone, but you may pick up the one or two if you want to, and let's see how God is moving your heart for this prayer life. And at least one, I would like to have you to pick one, pick out of this basket, so you can keep them till at the end of October and see the miracle of the people in this congregation. Before I end the message, I would like to offer prayer. Let's pray. Gracious, holy, loving God, you brought 127 families under the roof of our Redeemer's United Methodist Church to form God's family, God's community in these places, Lord. I pray that this family will be empowered by you throughout this time of the year, especially through this next seven weeks, so they can re-alert or reclaim their faith in you to draw closer to you and go deeper in building relationship with you. Bless each one of the family in this congregation and take this family for your ministry to reach out many people for the transformation of the world. In Christ's name.